NaturalWildlife.org.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Hey! Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, October 6, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you so much for joining us for the next 2 hours of news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. Joining us at half past, we get to speak with a woman who I got to meet earlier this year in Anchorage, Alaska. Her name is Teresa Collins. And she is with the Alaska 420 Club. This is a Bring Your Own Buds social lounge that was formed by Alaskans. Actually, it's at 420 Southwest 3rd in Anchorage. They got a great address. And it's, you know, run by volunteers. It's something I've seen in some of the other legal states and some of the medical states for that matter. Just a private place where people can gather and use cannabis together. No alcohol, not harming anybody, but she's here to tell us about how the Anchorage City Council and the state of Alaska are doing everything they can to ensure that legal cannabis consumers are required to stay in the smoky closet, required to only smoke in their own owned homes, no rentals, in your owned home with the curtains closed, no kids around. She'll tell us all about that coming up at half past in our cannabis community chat. Then, following that interview, we've got another interview with a new friend of the show, Joe from Strong Silicone. If you're watching on the Ustream, you've seen our glow-in-the-dark, unbreakable, foldable, green silicone bong from the folks at Strong Silicone. So he's going to join us to talk about how they make these items and what got him involved in becoming a cannabis entrepreneur. So that's coming up at the end of the show in the Radical Rant segment. Also on the show today, all sorts of data to talk about in our drug war data mining segment. We've got a report coming out here in Multnomah County, the home county of Portland, Oregon, and the largest county in the state, about how much higher the rates of marijuana use are here in Multnomah County compared to, say, you know, the ranch lands of Malheur County. Shocking, isn't it, that people in cities use marijuana more? We'll dig into this data and give a perspective on that data nationwide that pretty much shows that, yeah, people in cities smoke more pot. Also, we'll get into behind the headlines where a lot of the scare stories coming out these days have to do with the accidental ingestion of cannabis by youngsters, children, five and under, and that gets headlines like tripling of child poisonings from marijuana. We'll tell you why that scare is unfounded and what you really need to know about accidental ingestion of cannabis by youngsters. But that all comes right after the 420 radio news. And in the news today, we're going to talk more about the New Year's Eve party in South Dakota that you don't want to miss. We've got the Responsible Ohio Initiative leading to medical research facilities. They had their press conference today. We'll tell you how that went. Also, some tax estimates on how much legalization in Ohio could reap for the state. We've got decriminalization in Albuquerque. Two city councilors still fighting for that. We got Oregon cannabis workers beginning to unionize and the first full-blown museum exhibition dedicated to marijuana in California. All that's coming up on the Russ Melville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
As a police officer, I walked a beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, October 6, 2015. The Flandreau Santee Sioux Tribe of South Dakota is opening the nation's first marijuana resort. Their state-of-the-art grow facility tracks every plant with a barcode from seed to germination to consumption, and full audits can be conducted at any time. All marijuana will be dispensed and smoked in the marijuana lounge, open to patrons 21 and over. 1 gram at a time will be dispensed per individual for $12.50 to $15 per gram. 31 strains will be available for the New Year's Eve opening on December 31st, 2015. The opening night is likely to be a closed event, limited to the first 1,000 guests who purchase tickets. The venue will be complete with a VIP section, a smoking lounge, a bar with alcohol, live music, and food. The tribe's Royal River Casino will provide rooms for overnight guests. A nonprofit organization dedicated to scientific research on cannabis plans to build a $24 million medical marijuana research facility at a proposed Licking County grow site if voters approve Responsible Ohio's marijuana legalization amendment this fall. Work at the International Cannabinoid Institute Research Foundation will focus on marijuana-centered therapies for certain medical conditions, such as childhood epilepsy, post-traumatic stress disorder, Alzheimer's disease, and cancer. The nonprofit group would lease 15 acres from the property owner of the Licking County site, located in Pataskala, for the 40,000-square-foot facility, the group announced on Tuesday. Pataskala Mayor Mike Compton, who has opposed the proposed marijuana farm in his city, said he's more comfortable with the idea of a facility strictly dedicated to medical research. Legalizing marijuana in Ohio for medical and personal use could generate anywhere from $133 million to nearly $300 million annually in taxes, according to an analysis by state officials. But the pro-pot group encouraging voters to approve the November 3rd ballot measure claims the state underestimated possible tax revenue by hundreds of millions of dollars because Ohio officials didn't use federal data regarding marijuana usage. The Ohio Department of Taxation estimates that approval of Issue 3 could lead to marijuana sales of nearly $2 billion by 2016. That could yield taxes ranging from $133 million to $293.3 million, according to the department. Responsible Ohio, the political action committee that drafted the Issue 3 proposal to amend the state constitution, previously estimated that legalizing pot could funnel $554 million in taxes to counties, cities, villages, and townships every year. Two city councilors in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who are pushing for less stringent punishment for possession of small amounts of marijuana, want their fellow city councilors to override the mayor's vetoes. City Council President Ray Garduño and Councilor Isaac Benton rebutted Mayor Richard Berry's statements about the veto of decriminalization of marijuana. The other measure would have directed Albuquerque police to make marijuana possession a low priority. The two said that the city should not wait for the state legislature in Santa Fe or Congress in Washington, D.C. to make changes to marijuana policy in the city, and noted that other cities around the country have already done so. Santa Fe is the only city in New Mexico that has decriminalized marijuana. Earlier this year, media reports showed that police in Santa Fe were still processing marijuana possession as a state crime, not the city's civil infraction. A non-binding vote showed a majority of Albuquerque voters supported decriminalization. At least two collective bargaining contracts between Oregon cannabis workers and the dispensaries that employ them have been signed, and more are expected to partake in collective bargaining as the industry develops. As many as 50 Oregon cannabis businesses have expressed interest in unionizing to the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 555. The union represents more than 20,000 retail and manufacturing workers in Oregon and Washington. Marijuana has been the subject of films, televisions, novels, art, and political deal-making, but now it will be the focus of a full-blown museum exhibition at the Oakland Museum of California, the first show of its kind, according to the museum. The show, titled Altered State, Marijuana in California, will explore the history of the plant, along with its social, political, scientific, and cultural significance. The exhibition has been in the works for 18 months and will open in 2016, the same year California voters will likely face a ballot option to legalize marijuana for recreational use. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, October 6, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo!
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Today in Behind the Headlines, we're confronted by one on Medscape.com in their nurses section, and it's entitled Child Marijuana Exposure Increasing, Study Says. The lead paragraph tells us that the rate of marijuana exposure among U.S. children 5 years old and younger increased by more than 147% between 2006 and 2013, according to a study published in June in Clinical Pediatrics. The exposure, they say, increased even more in the states that legalized marijuana for medicinal purposes before 2000. In those states, researchers found that childhood marijuana exposure increased almost 610% between 2006 and 2013. Now, whenever you hear this story, and there's other stories that are similar to it, like the number of people in fatalities that have pot in their system, or the number of admissions to emergency rooms, or the number of people that are admitted to rehabs, they all suffer from the same confounding variable, and that is prohibition. See, what we are seeing here in the states that have passed medical marijuana and the states that have legalized marijuana is not necessarily an increase in the rate of children who are ingesting marijuana. What we can say with certainty is that we are seeing an increase in the reporting of children who have ingested marijuana. And that's a critical difference. You have to understand that when marijuana is illegal, when being caught with it can mean that Child Protective Services show up and take your kid away, when it means that you can be charged with child endangerment for merely having marijuana or marijuana plants in your home, and you can do serious time for that and lose custody of your child temporarily or even permanently. When those factors are at play, it certainly colors the decision as to whether or not to tell that your child has consumed some of that marijuana, or to even report it at all. In a prohibition scenario, it's likely that if the kid has consumed some marijuana but isn't close to death, isn't experiencing severe problems, maybe is a little logy, tired, confused, upset stomach, whatever it might be, maybe that parent decides, we'll just wait it out. Let's just wait this out and see how this kid's doing. I'd rather not have the EMTs show up or the cops show up at the hospital, ER, or the poison control center, report me for my kid getting into my illegal stash of marijuana. Another consideration is if the kid does end up in really bad condition, where the parent is scared enough to even go to the hospital or the poison control center with their kid, that they would lie about what the kid had ingested. Oh, he got into a glass of bourbon that we had left out. Or, he ate one of my prescription pills. And thus the kid is taken care of and everything's fine, but that never gets reported as being cannabis related. Now that we have a significant body of people, many of them parents, who have the legal right to use cannabis either as an exception to criminal prosecution under medical laws or outright legal in four states now, they're less reticent to want to report when marijuana and their kid come into contact. It's less of a big deal. It's more likely they're going to want to be honest with the doctor when they know there aren't collateral consequences for that honesty. Now, I don't want to give the impression that this means that there hasn't been an increase in exposure either. All I'm saying is the data we have, all it can reliably tell us is there's an increase in the reporting. Now, I think it's likely there's some combination of the two. I think maybe we've got more people reporting the incidents that already happened, and maybe indeed there are more incidents. That same factor that makes the parent less afraid to want to report that their kid got into the marijuana may make them less afraid to leave it out on the table, less diligent about putting it away where it can't be seen by the cops now that it's legal. So there could be something to the notion that legalization is leading to more of these ingestions by kids. But the answer is not to go back to arresting and punishing the adults who use marijuana. This goes to education and making sure those parents understand how critically important it is to lock it up and put it away.
Sorry, I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
After all, if we were going to be busting the parents who let their kids get into something harmful, we'd have to press charges for the people that leave those laundry pods and dishwasher pods out. That's the fastest growing poison category for kids. You know those new gel pods for laundry soaps and stuff? They all colorful looking, look like candy. Everybody settle down. Happy 420 Mountain Time Zone.
The Russ Belville Show, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. The Fingerboard extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we get a report from my home county here, Multnomah County. The Multnomah County Health Department has issued a vital signs report on the legalization of marijuana and the potential policy directions for public health. And it's interesting in that most of what they're reporting here are the statistics for marijuana as it exists before we legalized. So right off the bat, we can say, hey, everything we're about ready to talk about is what happened because of prohibition. This is what prohibition got us. So keep that in mind. They first begin by talking about the marijuana use rates in Multnomah County versus Oregon and the rest of the United States. And they say as far as 8th graders and 11th graders go, for past month use, 9% of 8th graders and 21% of 11th graders in Multnomah County have used marijuana. That compares to national figures of 8% and 19%. And in fact, the national figures are higher than the figures for Oregon as a whole. So when it comes to the kids, you know, what about the children? In Oregon, their use rates are a tiny bit higher than they are nationwide, but nothing too crazy. But when we look at young adults, we look at people aged 18 to 25 years old. They like to point out that nearly one in three young adults in Multnomah County, or 32% of them, used marijuana in the past month. And they compare that to Oregon's rate of 25% past month and the national rate of 19% past month. And when you get to the older adults, 26 and older, 14% of us have used in the past month. That would be one out of seven. 9% in Oregon and 5% for the United States. So here in Multnomah County, beautiful legal potland, Oregon, a third of young adults and a seventh of all other adults are using marijuana at least once a month. And the problem with that is what? I mean, Oregon's been medical, was the first state to decrim, been medical for a long time, is among the second states to do that, and now is among the second states to legalize. It should be no surprise that the adults are using at a greater rate than the rest of the state and the rest of the country. All this study is showing us is something that we all know, and that is marijuana use happens more in urban areas. I went to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health for 2013 and ran some crosstabs on the size of county you come from versus your age and how much you use marijuana. And here's what we found. For the kids ages 12 to 17 years old, those that used recently, past 30 days use, were 7.3% if you lived in a large metro county, 6% if you lived in a non-metro county, so the country. 7.3% in the city, 6% in the county, which is pretty close to what we were looking at when it came to Multnomah County as a whole. Remember, we were talking for the 8th graders, 9% and 21% for the 11th graders, the older kids. When we look down for those who are the young adult age, 18 to 25, we get nationwide the same kind of urban-rural divide that we found in the Oregon stats. And that is nationwide, 21% of those aged 18 to 25 have used monthly if they live in a metro county. One out of five. Now, in Multnomah County, it's one out of three. But again, the non-metro counties, in the United States as a whole, it's 16.7%, one out of six. And in the non-metro counties, the rest of Oregon as compared to Multnomah County, it was also significantly lower. So the fact that Multnomah County has greater marijuana use among adults should come as a surprise to absolutely nobody, because that's the pattern we find throughout the entire country, whether it's legal, medical, or absolutely prohibited. So I don't know exactly what point they are trying to make here, but as we look through the rest of their report, they are bringing up the public health impact of marijuana, and they have this table of things that can happen. And they say that there's strong evidence for short-term anxiety and panic, short-term impairment of cognitive and motor skills, chronic dependence, dependence risk among youth, injuries and damage from car crashes involving drivers, impaired drivers, injuries and damage from hash oil production explosions, poisoning from accidental ingestion. Then they say there is areas of concern, as they call it, mixed evidence for brain development, long-term cognitive development, mental illness, depression, suicide, some cancers, respiratory disease, cardiovascular disease, and heart attack, lower educational attainment, progression to other illicit drugs, gateway drug, brain development and long-term cognitive impairment, marijuana-related crime and crime-related harms, infant and child outcomes from maternal use in pregnancy, and infant outcomes from the THC in breast milk. Well, we don't have enough time left to debunk all of those, but if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you know that about 80% of what I just mentioned was complete and utter bullshit. But that's what they're using to try to scare us in Multnomah County, because one-third of our young adults and one-seventh of all other adults are using cannabis monthly. We'll dig more into this report in hour two. I'll take some time to debunk some of those things. But at least these folks are looking at it and understanding that it's here to stay, and they need to do something at least to justify their public health budget. Hey, stick around. We're back with Teresa Collins from the Alaska 420 Club right after this.
Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belleville Show.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belleville Show and 420 Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our cannabis community chat.
All right, folks, time for us to go up to the great white north of Alaska, and Teresa Collins is on our phone line waiting to talk to us from the Alaska 420 Club in Anchorage. Hey, Teresa, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good, Russ.
It's been a long time since I seen you. How's everything up in Anchorage?
It's going okay. We're fighting some battles up here.
Yeah, I told people a little bit about your club in the intro to the show, but why don't you tell folks what the Alaska 420 Cannabis Club is?
So basically what it is it's a private club where people can come and consume their own marijuana products. So whether it be edibles, smoke, whether they want to dab, however they want to consume it. But as long as they're a member of our club, they can actually come in and utilize the clubhouse.
So it's not, you're not serving marijuana, you're not selling marijuana or growing marijuana there. It's just, you know, a hangout.
Yep, exactly. There's no sales of marijuana whatsoever. We charge a door fee for entertainment and for the use of the space. And then we have snacks and sodas and things like that that we sell as
well. It's a great location. It's at you're still at 420 Southwest 3rd?
Yeah, it's 420 West 3rd Avenue in Anchorage, yes.
West 3rd, there we go. Yeah, but 420, perfect address. You know, I was there when I was up for the Northwest Cannabis Classic. It was a great place. It's very similar to the world-famous Cannabis Cafe here in Portland, some, you know, Seattle Super Chronics that I visited up in Seattle. I mean, this seems to be a place that there's a lot of demand for. People don't want to have to just sit in their house by themselves. They want to be social. So what's the problem, Teresa? Why? What's Alaska got or Anchorage got against this?
Well, apparently it's the Marijuana Control Board. It's actually a specific person, Cynthia Franklin. She is the head of the Alcohol Control Board and has been put in charge of the Marijuana Control Board. A board has been appointed, and they're working on regulations that were written before they were even assigned to the board. And one of the parts of the regulation has been to prohibit marijuana clubs. Because per our statute, there's no prohibition on them. There's nothing to say they're illegal in Alaska.
Right.
So they're trying to introduce this prohibition through the regulations of the Marijuana Control Board.
Gotcha. So this isn't just an Anchorage thing. This is Alaska-wide they're talking about.
Yep.
And then there's like five or six of you clubs up there in Alaska now, aren't there? There's one in Kenai. There's actually two now.
There was three, but one of them did shut down because their landlord holds an alcohol license, and they were upstairs completely separate. But the Marijuana Control Board threatened their liquor license if they allowed the marijuana club to be downstairs. My landlord has also been threatened by the Alcohol Control Board because he throws parties in a completely separate space occasionally and a permit for the party. And he's been told that if he doesn't evict me, that he will not be granted a permit.
Wow. So this sounds very similar to the battles we're fighting in Oregon and Washington, both states where they put the liquor board in charge of marijuana and the liquor board doesn't want weed and alcohol in the same place. Is that a fair summation of Alaska's situation?
Exactly.
Well, there's a lesson for future states that want to legalize. Create an entirely different board. I know Reform California is going to be creating a brand new board, the Cannabis Control Commission, to deal with all this stuff. And I think what we've learned here in the Northwest is don't let the liquor people be in charge of this.
Right, exactly. And they're trying to vilify us and to say that, you know, it's going to be catastrophic if a bunch of people that are smoking marijuana leave one location at the same time. Yet the bar that's in the same parking lot as us has had 8 shootings since we opened, all after we're closed at 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We actually close early because we don't want our members to, you know, have to deal with any of the alcohol stupidity that goes on later on in the evening.
Isn't it remarkable how people can completely, you know, that alcohol as a hard drug is completely invisible to a lot of people?
Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, you know, we've talked about it with a lot of members, and alcohol is the gateway drug. People say that marijuana is, and I disagree. But when I drink alcohol, I tried marijuana.
There you go. We're speaking with Teresa Collins from the Alaska 420 Club up in Anchorage. And so what's the next step that you have to do here? Is it showing up the council or the board or protesting or an initiative, or what do you got to do?
We're going to be doing protesting. We're going to have some peaceful demonstrations with some marijuana giveaways. We're looking at doing a spice for marijuana exchange because spice is a big problem in Alaska.
Sure.
Parliament is on October 15th and 16th, so we're just calling everybody to make sure they get in and comment publicly and write in their written comments on the regulations, because if enough people actually say that this is wrong, hopefully they'll pay attention to it and do what the public wants. If not, we're willing to get signatures to get a new initiative started.
Does this seem like it's something that's kind of just important to the liquor board, or is there public outcry about this? Do the people care one way or the other?
Oh, absolutely. When the regulation wasn't taken from Set 9 at the last Marijuana Control Board meeting, because they haven't signed them into law yet, so there's still time for changes, when they voted against taking the prohibition out, we had an outcry of support. Amazing. Over 5,000 people coming and saying, you know, this is needed. We want this. And so it's been really, really great, the public support that we have had. Because I think most people in Alaska know what we know, that marijuana is less dangerous than alcohol.
Well put. Now, Teresa, you know, here in Oregon, we just started our early sales of marijuana from our medical marijuana dispensaries.
Yes, I know, congratulations.
Thank you. I know Alaska's history with medical marijuana hasn't been as successful, so you guys still haven't even started your first marijuana sale or even thinking about it yet, have you?
Nope, and that won't even come until May. We're not even allowed to apply for licensing until February, and they have until May 24th to issue the licenses.
Wow. So, but when did it become legal for y'all to possess and grow?
February 24th.
So we're talking about a Washington state like 18 month at least delay between being legal and being able to buy.
Yes, exactly.
My goodness.
Exactly. So according to Cynthia Franklin on the Alcohol Control Board, the marijuana is just appearing everywhere.
It's just appearing?
Yeah, it's just appearing.
It's the immaculate conception of weed.
Yeah, well, and the way they're writing the regulations, they originally, you know, the idea was to get the black market to come out and be a part of the commercial. But the way that they're writing the regulations for small growers is really going to hinder people for being able to actually make that decision to come out of the black market and be a legitimate business.
Well,
so
what are some of the problems?
Really, you know, pushing.
What are some of the problems with the regulation that are going to stymie the small growers?
Well, they've submitted for two type of cultivation license, the standard and the limited. And the limited grow is 500 square feet or less. And as of right now, you cannot do that in your household. It has to be a commercial or industrial building to grow 500 square feet. So, you know, from the people that I've heard of and know that have been growing successfully in Alaska for a long time, to go out and invest in buying a commercial building and changing what they've been doing and then paying more taxes, the small grower here, they're requiring them to use a broker. They're not allowed to have their own dispensary. They can't do their own processing. The limited license cultivation facility can only grow 500 square feet of marijuana and sell it to the broker. They have no other avenue to increase their revenue.
My goodness. So a lot of things still yet to be fixed under Alaska legalization. We got to have a public place to be able to consume. We've got to be able to protect the small growers in some way. Is there some resources online or ways they can contact you or others to help out with this battle?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think go to our website, www.potluckeventsak.com. And then we are on Facebook as well, Potluck Events AK. We're extremely involved in the movement, all aspects of it, and just trying to be great supporters for the industry here. And I'm actually going to be traveling down to Oregon in the next couple of weeks to come check out your guys' clubs and learn more about what's going on in Oregon. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, you've got my contact info. When you get to Portland, make sure you hit me up. We'll get you here in the studio, and I'll take you out VIP style to all the best places.
Awesome. That sounds fantastic.
Now, I know at this time of the year, the nights have got to be getting long up there in Anchorage. Are there any big events planned for Halloween or New Year's you want to tell people about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, this Friday we're having our fall harvest potluck, so everybody's bringing a dish. And then on Halloween we're going to have our big Halloween party, which I've been excited about since we opened. We're also doing a superhero costume party the weekend before Halloween. We're going to do a Thanksgiving dinner, and we're going to have lots of Christmas parties. We're going to have Chinese gift exchange, all kinds of fun.
Wow, it sounds like dangerous and reckless criminal activity that needs to be shut down now.
Right. Right. Stop those marijuana users.
Oh, my goodness. I've always said that if we're a society that has figured out how to deal with alcohol, we should just apply those rules to marijuana at the most. And they should even be less restrictive than that. But let's start with alcohol rules. And, you know, I haven't seen yet a bar that requires the people driving to it to give up their keys to a valet who then gives them a breathalyzer before they leave. But they want to tell us they're afraid of marijuana drivers?
Right. Well, you know, and for our bigger events, we do provide shuttles, free shuttles to our members. And the cab companies actually know us and bring tourists to our club because so many people that actually feel like they can't drive, they make the decision to call a cab instead of saying, oh, I can make it. It's right around the corner. Like, oh, I don't want to chance it.
Good thinking. And so I bet the hotel
inhibitions are not as low as with alcohol.
I was also going to say, I bet the hotel and the cruise ship people like you because you're taking all the smokers who try to sneak a toke in their hotel room or cruise ship bunk to come out to the 420 club and do it there.
Exactly. And we have several corporate memberships with hotels. Not only that, but the bars in downtown Anchorage are supporting us. We have corporate memberships for them and their employees. And the sales in downtown Anchorage have increased this year over the last 6 years. So I'm not saying it's just because we're there, but, you know, we like to eat and we like to buy.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much, Teresa Collins, Alaska 420 Club. And love you guys. It was a lot of fun when I was up there, and I hope to make it back there again sometime when there's more sunlight, though.
Yeah, and you have an open invitation.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Take it easy. Good luck on everything.
All right, thanks, Russ.
Yeah, Alaska 420 Cannabis Club, just one of many clubs out there that are trying to provide a place for people to be able to use cannabis when we're not allowed to in our hotels, in our rentals, in public places. You gotta let us toke somewhere, people. Hey, when we come back, we've got Strong Silicone. Joe is on the line.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff. It's the most addictive kind of cocaine, and it can kill you. What's really bad is nobody knows how much it takes. So every time you use it, you risk dying. It isn't worth it. Look, everybody wants to be cool, but doing it with crack isn't just wrong. It could be dead wrong.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at HerbAgeDesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
There you go.
And this is Rick Cusick, and you're listening to 420 Radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everybody, for the rant. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite products of the year. As you know, this year, I've broken not one, not two, not three, but four glass bongs here at Rolla J Studios. And my colleague, Herb Thrasher, is very disappointed every time I do such a thing and insisted that we need to get a bong that would be impossible for me to break. And lo and behold, it arrived from Strong Silicone, a green glow-in-the-dark, about a 16-inch tall standard tube-style bong. And joining us to talk about the company and the product, we got Joe from Strong Silicone. Joe, are you on the line?
I am, Russ. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, thank you for sending this bong. I got to say, it's one of my favorite products because I've got this I got this ashtray over here. I got this maybe 2-3 years ago from Kind Ash Cash. And it's a metal ashtray, but it's got the silicone glow-in-the-dark ring around it for you to tap your bowl out on. And so it matches quite well with the ashtray I already had. So thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. That's just that's purely a coincidence.
That's a beautiful.
Two useful items made of silicone.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Now tell folks about this product. I mean, is this the only style of this bong that you make?
This is the only style right now. We do have a smaller version in the works, and the one you're looking at, I think it's 14 inches.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It may have grown with use and with excitement.
bad at estimating inches when I'm talking about length, if you know what I mean.
we do have a smaller one in the works. I'd say 4 to 6 months out. Hopefully, on the sooner end of that time frame. But it'll have the same characteristics. What brought me to this was similar occurrences that you were having, maybe not with the same frequency as you, but I was looking for something that would not break, was good to take with you, whether you're camping, backpacking, rafting, even on a epic mountain bike ride.
Throw
it in your backpack, contort it, and then when you need a break to take in even more of nature, you can use it in the capacity that it's meant to be used for.
Fantastic. And this is, like he said, about 14 inches tall. It's got a nice wide base of a stand on it, so it's not likely to tip. It does take the glass stem and bowl that you'd put into it. Was that a standard, like an 18 millimeter on this one?
Yep. It's an 18, and we did it that way. So if the only two parts of my product do happen to break on you, it's something that can easily be replaced at any dispensary that carries glass, head shop that carries an assortment of glass. You'll be able to get that dialed in pretty well. And if not, you can always, come to me and we can take care of you. But it's a borosilicate diffuse stem with a borosilicate bowl. And we just let glass on glass is nice.
Yeah, it works quite well.
And one thing, I don't know if you knew this, but you can drop the stem and the bowl right down into the ice catch and it holds the stem and the bowl right there in the tube.
I didn't notice that. I was going to tell folks listening on the podcast that it's your standard 14, tube type bong, but it does have kind of a ring of an ice catcher on the inside of there. But no, I didn't even think about dropping the stem down in there.
Yeah, you can drop it in there for safekeeping. You can put a piece of bubble wrap on top so it doesn't fall out. But it's just another little kind of handy built-in tool, if you will. It was fun making it. And that base, I can see you holding it right now. It's actually a suction cup.
Oh yeah, it will. It'll adhese here to my my desktop. So yeah, you can keep that from falling off. If you got a smooth table there, it's going to stay there quite well. Now, the smaller unit that you're coming out with, is that going to use 18 or is it going to be a 14 millimeter?
No, it's going to be. We're going to make it so it's compatible with the with the glass we have. So if let's say you have a one of my current water pipes, and you get the smaller one when it comes out, the glass will be interchangeable. So if you happen to break one, you still have, you know, if you own both, you can just swap them out. And it just makes it this, you know, we were thinking simplicity, usability, and durability. And I think we've achieved that here. And the biggest thing being durability.
Yeah.
You know, everybody to some extent is on a budget. And this is something that you get from us, and it's not going to break. And we warranty it against breakage for the life, for the individual's lifetime.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd break this thing.
Which is hopefully a long period of time.
I don't know how you'd break this thing. It's like you say, it's strong silicone. It's all silicone. It's glow in the dark too, so you're not going to lose it in the dark. I think that's cool. In our chat room, they're asking, what do they cost, and where can I get one?
They retail for $80. I would love it if you would find a retailer near you and support them. I've got pretty good representation throughout Portland. I'll just give do you want me to, mention the store name?
Yeah, go ahead.
You've got the Third Eye on Hawthorne there in Portland.
Yep.
That carries them. Hunky Dory in Eugene carries them. And a peppering of other places that I can't begin to rattle them all off. Quite a few dispensaries as well. Let's see, the Herbary in Vancouver, Issaquah Cannabis up in Washington. I can go on and on, but then you'll see how quickly I forget. You can also go to strongsilicone.com
and
order directly from us. But at the same time, I do appreciate those who are supporting the retail outlets that carry our product.
That's great. I'm glad you're doing that. Strongsilicone.com. And are there difficulties as far as different states that people might order from? I know like Pennsylvania, Idaho, they have some pretty strong paraphernalia laws.
You know, we haven't run into a whole lot yet. I don't think we've actually shipped any to either of those two states yet. I moved here from rural Utah. So I thought I'd completely reinvent myself and create water pipes for a living.
Yeah.
pretty much everything we've sent out via the internet has not been to any states that are potentially problematic.
Hmm.
And I do not. I definitely don't want to be a person that is in trouble for sending to states where they see these things as the evil things that they truly are not.
Yeah, really. So how did you get into this? Is this your first time manufacturing something? Have you been working with silicone or what?
I worked for a company here in Bend a few years back that still manufactures silicone pint glasses.
Okay.
And I was working for them. And through that experience, which was a great experience, I learned a lot about the capabilities of silicone. Which are amazing. You know, it's from sand. It's a very abundant element, and it can take extremes in heat, extremes in cold, and it can take extreme battery, which is, you know, all those things came together. And while I was working there, I would joke around on a regular basis about how, wow, we can make an awesome water pipe out of this. But, you know, the company had a clear mission, and they've done well sticking to that. And when I left, I started throwing this around, and I launched this thing pretty much April Fool's Day. No kidding. I think that was when I made my first sale, April Fool's Day this year. And it's been a good experience. And I must say that my experience working with this silicone pint glass manufacturer definitely enabled me to do this. It gave me the confidence in the material and the knowledge in production and molding to get it done.
Yeah.
So that's how it came to fruition.
It looks great. It functions great. Am I to take it that I could throw this in the dishwasher?
You can throw it in the dishwasher. You can throw it in a pot of boiling water. You can bend it and make it fit into a pot. I like alcohol and salt as well. You can, there's some crazy things you can throw it into washing wise that I don't want to share on the air because I don't want people to ruin various appliances at their house. But yeah, it can pretty much take a cleaning from anything in your house that cleans, whether it's dishes, clothes, what have you. Which is which is truly the beauty of it. It's awesome. And if you really want to have a fun time, take the stem and the bowl out and grab it by the top. And if you've got like a flat surface, let's say a stainless steel refrigerator, see if you can hug it from across the room and have it stick suction cup side to your refrigerator.
And there we go. We can add that to the Stoner Decathlon.
Right. And, hardly a dangerous game. I don't even think you have to wear eye protection for that one.
Yeah, I don't think so either. This is an amazing product. Are you thinking about, in addition to coming up with a smaller size, coming up with maybe different color designs?
I sent the Thrasher, who reached out to me, the Herb Thrasher, a glow in the dark. But we've got a watermelon red, an aqua blue. We've got a lava orange. Yeah, we've got six colors and then one glow in the dark. So we've got, we even have kind of a matte black, which is quite striking. It has an ominous yet appealing look to it, we've got all the colors under the rainbow to this point. And we've got a few more we're playing with that could be coming in the next couple of months.
That's great. I got to say, $80 for this compared to how many glass bongs I've broken that have cost that much or more. This is a great investment. I love this company, strongsilicone.com. And you're a Portland local?
I live in Bend.
Oh, it's a Bend company. Okay.
Just over the mountains, but I do get over there, and that's where I made my first push sales-wise.
Yeah,
Was in Portland, and I got, I had great reception from everybody, as I was hoping, and it came to fruition. So I love Portland. I love Washington. And they've both been good to Strong Silicone, but it's the will of the people that enabled this to really occur.
Well, I'm just glad that you're another one of the homegrown Green Rush success stories that are happening, and to be able to escape small town red state Utah to do it, that makes me like it even more. Thanks, Joe, from Strong Silicone, strongsilicone.com. Appreciate the bong and appreciate you talking to us.
Russ, it was my pleasure. Take care, and I love your show.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We got more coming up. If you're listening live, Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio is up next. If you're not listening live and you're saying, hey, how can I listen to Toker Talk Radio? Go to the 420radio.org website and sign up for a VIP account. It's up on the main menu there. And once you're a VIP, you can access the Toker Talk Radio archives. Look under the schedule tab on the new menu redesign and you'll find it. So that's it. For all of us here at Roller J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.